Today's Mishnah in Masechet Kelim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is a direct continuation of the last quote that we had from this Mishnah in Masechet Shabbat, the Daf Yomi, which, remember, the last thing we learned was there were shalosh katedrot, these different types of agalot. One of them was the kiseh that was katedra. And then we spoke about the large wagon that carries the rocks. And the reason we brought that up was because it was nogea, something that could only be transferred by hooking up a team of animals to it. And the Gemara said, nonetheless, Rabbi Chanina considered that to be a movable. So it was metal to molivareka. So going on, continuing on in this perek, which the entire perek compares in every single Mishnah, three formats of the same kli, one of which is roi for midras, one of which is roi for tumas meses and to be an avatuma, and one of which is not roi for kabbalas tuma at all. There are also three types of tablets. So these tablets, all of these tablets are talking about screens, but unfortunately the iPad wasn't invented yet, so we had to make do with other kinds of screens. Okay, so one type of screen, of course, the advantage of a screen is that it's erasable, as opposed to actually writing on paper or something like that. So the easiest erasable tablet, so these are actually tablets, right? So the easiest erasable tablet would be a tablet that is covered with sand. So you can write on it, and then you can erase it, write something else. And this is great for teaching kids and so on. So that is called an apiporin. An apiporin, and that's quite big because it's got to have room to hold all of the stuff in it, and then you close it. And because of that, it is so big, really, that you can actually sit on it. And so the kids, when they weren't working at their desk, would sit on the tablet. It wasn't considered to be a amod v'nase melachteinu because it was actually used for that purpose at times that it wasn't in use for specifically for writing. So therefore, that's mekabel tumas midras. Now, there's also the smaller type of tablet where you could do a smaller type of etching. That was a tablet that used wax, needed to be heated in order to clear the screen. And so that was much smaller. It was not used to sit on. However, since it does, by definition, it holds the wax in it, so it has a beit kibul, because of that, it's mekabel tumas meis. And again, remember, every time we say tumas meis, what we really mean is any type of tuma that is possible from whatever. It could be a sheretz, it could be a meis. The reason we say meis is because we want to talk about it's becoming an ava tuma because it comes into contact with a viavota tuma. And then you can have the type of thing in which people would write with erasable ink, like kids would write on these whiteboards. If it's chalaka, so then it was smooth, so then it's just pshute kli eitz, and that is at mekabel tuma of any kind, because pshute kli eitz are not metami. Moving on to chaf dalet mishnah chet. There are also shalosh mitotein. There are three types of beds. So the type of bed that you are meant to sleep on, that's obviously the classic of asuya l'shchiva, is going to be tamei midras. How about a glass bed? So it's beit shel zagagin. It is not meant to be sat on. It's meant to work on glass, maybe even hot glass, or to hold glass kalim. And therefore, it is mekabel, the glassware, but it's certainly, you're not going to want to sit on something where there's delicate glass. Because of that, it's not roi for tumas midras, but it has a container, and therefore it's tamei tumas meis. And shel saragin, what about the type of frame? Now, this is called a bed because it really is basically a bed frame. Remember that all the beds in those days actually were frames for nets, right? Because what they, unless it was the type of bed that used the full leather holder. But most beds were made from going in and out, like a woven net, which would give you a soft platform to put your mattress on, your bedding on. So when they would actually make nets, they would use a bed frame. And that would be called a saragin, somebody who is a weaver of nets or a knitter of nets. So sharat saragim is completely tar because it is pshute kli eitz. And pshute kli eitz that is not meant for midras is not mekabel any kind of tuma, and therefore it would be tahor miklum. Continuing on, Mishnah Chavdalid Tet. There are also shalosh mashpelotain. There are also three types of garbage containers. These are not just garbage containers. These are basically used for transporting your manure. And because of that, they were very, very large. So if it was used for zevel, it was used specifically for manure. Since that could be what was, we saw earlier, remember way back in Perek Yotet, we saw earlier that the workers in a field would sit on any of these containers while it wasn't in use. So this would make a very good thing to sit on when you're out there in the field and it wasn't in use, it wasn't called Amod v'nasim alachteinu, so therefore we mekabel tumas midras mamash. If it was used for straw, so there it was not used for sitting on because it was made out of strips, not out of a solid container, and was easily broken if you would put a human's weight on it. It was only made for straw, and therefore people would be careful not to break them. But since they're mekabel the tevin, so they're tamei meis. And of course, tell me any other tuma. V'hapuchlatz shagimalim tohor miklum. But a camel's puchlatz. Oh my gosh. What in the world about puchlatz? What a word. It just makes you think of something that doesn't really work very well. So this is something that's used for transporting big loads on camels. And that would be, they would use this basket and have like this, what we use is we use today. We just use that, the plastic bubble wrap. So what they would use is puchlatz, which is basically a basket that they made out of ropes, which was essentially a net, but it had very large holes because it was only necessary to prevent the boxes that you were loading up on the camel to prevent them from falling off the side. So because of that, even rimonim could escape from a puchlatz, and therefore it was not considered to have a container. Since it's used, it's made of ropes, it would be pshute kliyetz. Pshute kliyetz are not mekabel tuma at all. Perikov dalad...
Maybe it has to do with nafuach. Maybe it's nafuach, it's very enlarged. Maybe chalatz for removing in some combination.
Maybe. Yeah, it's definitely a weird term. Shlosha mapatzimim. So our next Mishnah Yud. There's also three types of mapats, of mats. So if you make a mat to actually be sitting on, so then, I mean, this is really a very special halacha in the Torah, because the Torah never talks about anything except for tumas eitz or etzem and sak, never mentions anything to do with gemi, reeds, and things like that, right? The only way that we know that it's mekabel tuma bichlal is because of the fact that, as we saw before, again, in Shabbos, that it can be mekabel tuma smitras because the Torah talks about a mat for sitting on. Okay, once it's mekabel tuma, then it's already included in the dinim of other types of tuma. How about a mat for tzaba'in? That would be tamei tumat mit. What was a mat for tzaba'in? That was somebody who would dye clothing, and then you would spread out the dyed clothing. That actually had a rim. And since it had a rim to prevent any of the dyed stuff that was leaking out from leaking all over the place, even though it isn't used for sitting on, but since it has a base kibble, it would therefore be mekabel tuma as a base kibble. Then it would be called actually the equivalent of eitz. He can't be sat on. So therefore, it's not tamei tumas midras. Shogitot, how about the kind of mats that they use in the olive press? So over there, it's used for covering. It's not used for holding. And that is tohar bichlal. It doesn't have any place to sit on, and it doesn't have any base kibbol. Our next Mishnah, Perek Chavdalet Yud Aleph. We also have three different types of chamatot. The chemet, remember, was a leather bottle of some kind, which you would fill with water, fill with wine, And we talked earlier about the size, and sometimes the roi for tumas midras, if they were large enough to be sat on. If they're smaller, they're not roi for tumas midras. So there were shalosh chamatot, and there are also three types of backpacks. So hamekablim kishiur, the ones that were large enough. Remember, we talked about a zayin kavim for leather, five kavim for the tarmil. Those were considered to be large enough, a standard size tarmil leather that they were used to sit on when you had to sit down, take a rest. They were comfortable to sit on. But if they're less than seven kav or five kav, respectively, so then they're tameim, only tamei mate, but they're tamei mate because they have a base kibbutz. And anything that was made out of Or Hadag, that would be tahar, because remember, we learned before, anything that is made from the yam, or creatures from the yam, is bichlal, not mekabel tuma at all. So that would be R3. The next Mishnah, Perek Chav Daled, Mishnah Yud Beis. There are three situations about Orot. So there's three types of hide that you've taken, and you're about to use it as it is. So if it's asui l'shatiach, you want to use this thing just to sit down on, and it's meant for, you took a sheepskin, and now you're putting it as a sheepskin rug. So that is tamei midras, because it's really meant for you to stand on, lie on, sit on. If you're using it, again, this we had in Shabbos, if you're using it, the tachrich hakelim, tamei mate. If you use it for a soft wrapping, then that's considered to be the equivalent of a container, because you fold it around whatever your glasses or delicate things that you're putting it in. So that's the equivalent of a base kibbel. Because of that, you don't sit on it, obviously, but it has a base kibbel, and therefore it is the metaltama levereikam, and it is not pshute, and therefore it's mekabel tuma, any tuma except tumas midras. Shel ritzuot v'shel sandalim Torah miklum. But if you have you've made it into something that is going to be used for a kli, so now either you did the marking with the knife, which we learned about in Shabbos, with the sirtut, or you actually cut it into pieces that were going to be made into a shoe, into a sandal, so then it's not going to be mekabel tuma at all. Because even though it was processed, and you think it's more considered to be a kli, but the truth is, since it's now made to be finished in a different form, then it's considered to be gome kelim. And therefore, it's not mekabel tuma until you actually finish it. So when you turn it into a sandal, you turn it into a belt, then it will be mekabel tuma.